And somehow Vrindavan temple is the only place where it is sung in Mangal Aarti. There's nobody else, they sing it. So we'll sing that. Vibhavari shesha loka pravesha nidra chari utha jiva vibhavari shesha आलोक प्रवेश निद्रा छाड़ी उठो जीवा बोलो हरि हरि मुकुंद मुरारि राम कृष्ण हय ग्रीवा बोलो हरि हरि मुकुंद मुरारि राम कृष्ण हय ग्रीवा बोलो हरि हरि मुकुंद मुरारि राम कृष्ण हय ग्रीवा बोलो हरि हरि मुकुंद मुरारि राम कृष्ण हय ग्रीवा नरसिंह वामन श्री मधुसूदन ब्रजेन्द्र नंदन श्याम श्री मधुसूदन ब्रजेन्द्र नंदन श्याम पूतन घातन कैटभशाटन जय दशरथि राम पूतन घातन कैटभशाटन जय दशरथि राम यशोदा दुलाल गोविंद गोपाल वृंदावन पुरंदर गोविंद गोपाल वृंदावन पुरंदर गोपी प्रिय जन राधिका रमण भुवन सुंदर वर गोपी प्रिय जन राधिका रमण भुवन सुंदर वर रावणांतकर माखन तस्कर गोपी जन वस्त्रहारी तकर माखन तस्कर गोपी जन वस्त्रहारी ब्रजेर राखल गोप वृंदापल चित्त हरि वंशीधारी खल गोप वृंदापल चित्त योगींद्र वंदन श्रीनंदनंदन ब्रज जन भय हारी श्रीनंदन जन भय नवीन नीरद रूप मनोहर मोहन वंशी बिहारी नीरद रूप मनोहर यशोदनंदन कंसन सुदन निकुंज रास विलासी
కంసని సూదనాని కుంజరాసవిల్ కదంబకానన రాసపరాయణ బృందవిపిన నివాసే రాసపరాయణ బృందవిపి ఆనందవర్ధన ప్రేమనికేతన ఫులశరయోజక కామానన్ గోపాంగనాగణ చిత్త వినోదన సమస్త గుణ గణధామ నాగణ చిత్త వినోదన జమున జీవన కేలి పారాయణ మనస చంద్ర చకోరాలి పారాయణ మనస చకోరా జమున జీవన కేలి పారాయణ మనస చంద్ర చకోరా నామ సుధారస గౌ కృష్ణ యశ రఖు వచన మన మోరా గౌ కృష్ణ యశ రఖు వచన మన మోరా విభావరీ శేష ఆలోక ప్రవేశ నిద్ర ఛడి ఉఠు జీవా శేషాలోక ప్రవేశ ఉఠు జీవా విభావరీ శేషాలోక ప్రవేశ నిద్ర ఛడి ఉఠు జీవా శేషాలోక ప్రవేశ నిద్ర ఛడి ఉఠు జీవా బోలో హరి హరి ముకుంద మురారి రామ కృష్ణ హయ గ్రీవా శ్రీ హరి ముకుంద మురారి రామ కృష్ణ హయ గ్రీ జయ కృష్ణ బలరామ జయ కృష్ణ బలరామ కృష్ణ బలరామ జయ కృష్ణ బలరామ జయ కృష్ణ బలరామ కృష్ణ బలరామ జయ రాధా గోపీనాథ రాధా గోపీనాథ రాధా గోపీనాథ రాధే గోపీనాథ రాధా గోపీనాథ రాధా గోపీనాథ రా ప్రభుపాద 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 జయ జయ ప్రభుపాద ప్రభుపాద ప్రభుపాద
హరే కృష్ణ. థ్యాంక్ యూ వెరీ మచ్ ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకాయ చక్షూరున్మిలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. హరే కృష్ణ. సో థ్యాంక్ యూ వెరీ మచ్ ఫార్ స్పెండింగ్ యువర్ ప్రెషస్ టైమ్ టు బీ విత్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ అస్ దిస్ సండే ఆఫ్టర్నూన్. So many years back when I came in Krishna consciousness and I came in contact with the idea of reading Prabhupada books on a regular basis. So downstairs there was that cassette tape ministry, if you remember. Like there was this, the staircase that we have, and there was a cassette tape ministry. And then they would give us a pamphlet that was a recommended sequence of reading Prabhupada books. So the first book in that was Krishna, the Reservoir of Pleasure. So when Baldev Prabhu asked me to speak and he gave me the same topic, Krishna, the Reservoir of Pleasure, so I correlated with that. that was the first book which is recommended. And I never understood why that is the first book until I started preparing for this class. And somehow, by the arrangement of Krishna, it was revealed. So we'll come to that. But it's very interesting. So wherever Prabhupada, in his books, in his lectures, in his purports, he mentions this theme, Krishna, the reservoir of pleasure. Generally, he supplements that with two shlokas. Any of you know, which is the most good? Generally, whenever Prabhupada says, Krishna, the reservoir of pleasure, that is Prabhupada's translation of these two shlokas generally says. One is Anandamayobhyasat, that Krishna is naturally pleasure-seeking, Anandamayobhyasat. Krishna wants to enjoy. So Srila Prabhupada told us that story, that there was that temple of Radha Govinda in his childhood, where a German scholar came and he saw the deity of Krishna there playing upon the flute. And he said, I have visited all the temples in India, but I did not see God there, but here I am seeing God. There's a small compilation of Srila Prabhupada's short stories, if you have heard it. And Prabhupada tells the story in that. So Prabhupada says, that person came and he said, here I am seeing God. So why is it so? Everybody asked, why is it so? Nowhere else there is God. So everywhere else he went to the temple of Goddess Durga, went to temple of Lord Ganesh, Lord Shiva, many other places. And he saw each of the places the deities are engaged in performing some responsible tasks. Like Lord Shiva is busy in meditating, Durga is busy in killing demons, Lord Ganesh probably busy in writing scriptures or whatever. Different places he saw, different things. But here I see this personality is not doing anything, he is simply enjoying. This Krishna, he is just enjoying. And he said, if somebody has to be God, then that is my definition. He has to simply enjoy, nothing else. That means God. Because who doesn't want to enjoy? Children want to enjoy, but they have to study. So there is some responsibility. In our office also, it would be nice if we enjoy. People say work and life balance. So, everyone likes to enjoy, but then there is a boss sitting on top of it. Hey, where are your commitments? Where are your, deadlines? So then you have to work. So none of us are actually free. So today morning also, Govind Prabhu gave a wonderful class. He said, he was quoting this, right? That the sun shines because of the fear of Krishna. The moon supplies light because of fear of Krishna. That's scriptures say like that. Of course, fear means, they are duty bound. And they do their, Indra gives rains out of fear of Krishna. He stops also rains sometimes out of fear of Krishna. So like that. So, they are duty bound. None of them are completely free. But Krishna, even when he went to Dwarka, he chose not to be the king. He remained a prince. He made Ugrasen the king and he became the prince. Because the principle of enjoyment should not be hampered. That is Krishna's policy right from the beginning. He doesn't want to. There are other incarnations meant for that. Ramchandra is there and everybody is there. So but Krishna is pure enjoyment. That has to be there. That is the underlying principle. So that is Anandamayobhyasat. So just see the beauty in which the Vedic scripture represent the concept of God in front of all of us. In the knowledge of God beyond the gamut of Vedic literature, I was also earlier, before I came to Krishna consciousness, I would talk to people about God and I would typically get an answer. God means generator, organizer and destroyer. The generator of everything, the organizer of everything, that means the supreme lawmaker, and then destroyer also after that. That is God. Last year there was this famous... Now just see, this concept of God, what does it lead to? So I was just... please correct me if I'm wrong, but I was just thinking like this. In last year there was this famous animation serial on Ramayana which came out. And just like in any movie, they make the entry of the villain really attractive. I don't know why. The villain becomes the main fulcrum of the whole movie. The car comes with a screeching brake and then he gets down and then the first the camera on his shoes. You know, as if Krishna, we also look darshan like, you know, begin from the lotus feet. So in the movie, they like, you know, camera on shoes and then tuck, 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 tuck the... And you, sometimes you don't even see the face of the person. Like, you know, it's completely impersonal. Yeah, like that. So, you know, in that serial, Ravana, you know, he starts climbing the steps. Tuck, tuck. And then there is a background. Hum, Vishwa Vijayata Hai. And then second step. Hum, Shasak Hai. You know? So, generator, organizer, already spoken. You know? Vishwa Vijayata. The ruler of everything. Shasak, the organizer, the lawmaker of everything. And then what is the third line that comes? Hum, Rakshas Hai. He says that. So, for a normal person, if you are a ruler, if you are a Vishwa Vijeta, you cannot be God. You have to be Rakshas. So, Vyasadeva is so brilliant, he doesn't put the generator, organizer, destroyer definition in front of us. No, he's so brilliant. He says, Anandamayo Bhyasat. And then, there's another shloka. Well, if you stick to this conception of generator, organizer, destroyer, you know, ultimately, hum shasak hai, hum Vishwa Vijeta hai, and everything. Then with that conception, just think how long you can continue in your Krishna consciousness, or in your bhakti, or in your cult of, or in a path of worship. How long can you continue? I have a God who is a Vishwa Vijeta, who is a shasak, who is a discipliner, who is a, you know, boss. With that concept, how long can I continue? I can continue as long as everything is good, going in my life very nicely. The moment something wrong happens, you know, then you just point your fingers to the same Vishwa Vijeta, same God and same destroyer and say, hey, you may be all that, but in my life you are screwing up everything. I don't believe in you as God. You know, you cannot continue for a long time with the conception of a Shasak or a Vishwa Vijeta God. That is not possible. So Vyasadeva does not even go to that direction. So Vyasadeva says this one, Ananda, and the second, which is like the most important definition of God from the Gaudiya Vaishnava perspective. And that Srila Prabhupada defines Raso Vaisaha. Now this is a very... Now I did not understand this shloka so much until I actually tried to read Prabhupada books and tried to understand. So I came across an article written by a devotee. Very beautifully explains. So Krishna is explained as Raso Vaisaha. What is the meaning of that? So he gives a word-to-word explanation. He says Rasa means sweetness. Vai means certainly. And Saha, the Supreme Personality of God. So this person says that for most of the theistic people, except Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the meaning of this verse is that that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and certainly he is very sweet. Right? For most of the Vaishnava traditions, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and certainly he is very sweet. But for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the definition is Krishna is sweet and also his Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know? That's what it means. A Gaudiya Vaishnava, a follower of Lord Brahma, Madhvacharya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Six Goswamis and Narottam Das Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, you know, according to their teachings, you know, Krishna is sweet and he is also Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is like a sidelined activity. What we are actually attracted to or impressed by is Krishna's sweetness. Now if you see, and this is the meaning of reservoir of pleasure. And now when we see that Krishna is sweet, so, well, if you read the Damodara, you know, we are coming into Kartik month, so you read Damodara Ashtakam, and there's a beautiful description of Krishna's sweetness. And the author, Satyavrata Muni, you know, he mentions that, I don't want mukti, I don't want heavenly kingdoms, I don't want any wealth. The only thing I want, birth after birth after birth, is I just want to see this sweet face of Lord Krishna. You know, there's a sweetness in Krishna's face. Krishna's face is, Krishna's sweetness is revealed to people in different ways. Just like even the song that we sung, you know, Putana Ghatana. one of the major activities of Lord Krishna was killing Putana demon. So the scriptures explain that how, you know, the acharyas explain that when Putana actually came to kill Krishna, she took Krishna in her hand. Now what is the background of Putana? You know, if Putana would have been living right now, then she would have been the major blacklisted top criminal, you know, in the record of each and every organization of this world. On the Interpol, the Scotland Yard, and the CBI. And she would be the top one criminal because she used to kill children. He's a lady who has a history of consistently, expertly killing children. Of course, there's something nice which I heard. I just would like to share with you. Not so much related to our main discussion, but it's nice. I heard it from Bhaktirasamrita Swami Maharaj. So in one class, he mentioned that when Kamsa came to know that the child who's supposed to kill him, you know, he's already born somewhere, Kamsa gave an order that he called Putana and said, kill all the children who are born in last few days. Right? And if you have read Krishna book, Prabhupada mentions, so he says this demoness, she was a khechari, not khichari. She was a khechari, that means khechar means, you know, come in space. So you have jalachar, bhuchar and khechar. So like that. So she was a khechari, she used to fly in the air. And, you know, and Prabhupada says such witches are still there in northern part of India, Prabhupada says. He says northwestern part, like Rajasthan and all that places. No, I'm not saying that. No problems with going there. But Prabhupada says they are still there. But Prabhupada says, but anywhere, wherever there is chanting the name of Krishna or singing Krishna's pastimes, she cannot come there. Right? Now, Jiva Goswami picks up this point. I mean, Prabhupada is actually describing Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami picks up this point of this literature, Bhagavatam, and he says, when Krishna was born, she came definitely after Krishna was born. Right? When Krishna was born, everyone in the Vrindavan, what they were doing? They were chanting Krishna's name and discussing Krishna's pastime. So how can Putana come there? So actually, Putana only destroyed all the children in Mathura only. She didn't enter Vrindavan. That means they were the children of Kamsa's men. So ultimately, Kamsa gave an order and all his men's children were only killed by Putana. So anyway, that was her track record. Killing of children. Such a ghastly woman. Even sometimes now we read in newspapers, you know, something like that news comes, some lady threw her child here, someone left his child here. You know, there are people struggling to have a child, and here, you know, some child comes by Krishna's arrangement and the woman just throws away. And we see, oh, what kind of woman is this? And such a woman, she took Krishna in hand. Now, she has come with a agenda of feeding poison to her breast, to this child. But actually, when she fed Krishna, the scriptures explain, the acharyas explain that some milk actually came in her breast. Because she saw the beautiful smiling face of Krishna, even such a hard-hearted, cold-hearted, frozen-hearted lady, when she took Krishna in her hand, you know, her breast had milk. Can you imagine the sweetness of Krishna's face? How much it must be there? She took Krishna in her hand. And, you know, and that's why Krishna gave her the position of Dhatri in the spiritual world after she was killed. Because she actually breastfed Krishna. Not just the poison, but even milk. That's the sweetness of Krishna's face. But, you know, it doesn't reveal to us so much. You know, we come here, we see Krishna's face, sweet. But then we go back and we again get attracted to the same all nonsense stuff. Right? And Krishna's sweetness sometimes appears in his beautiful speech. The way Krishna can speak and make things, you know, it's there are so many chapters in Krishna book. The entire chapter of Vrukasur demon, who took the blessing from Lord Shiva that anybody's head he would touch, you know, that head would get burst into pieces. And as soon as he got the benediction, he started chasing Lord Shiva only because he wanted Parvati. You know. So then Shiva said, what can I do? So Krishna said, okay, don't worry, I'll manage the whole show. So Krishna went there. And Krishna spoke so sweetly. Like, can you imagine a demon who has performed years and years of tapasya, austerities, you know, he can be fooled very easily? You know, demons are the most difficult people to fool, actually. They're very sharp. I mean, I don't want to say, but you even see the whole world. You know, the demons are very sharp. You can't fool them. And therefore, demon comes on the political power. It's very difficult. You know, it just makes the whole, because they're very sharp. But this small child, Krishna, came in front of this Vrukasur and he said, "Hey, Vrukasur, where are you going?" "I'm chasing Lord Shiva." He said, wait. "What do you feel?" "This Shiva, you know, you don't know. He's a Bholanath. He doesn't understand what he does. You know, you feel that you can touch somebody's hand, it will burst into pieces?" "Yeah, of course, it's a benediction from Lord Shiva." So you're believing him. "Kuch nahi, aise hi bolte rehta hai kuch bhi." You know, you try it on your own head. Now, if we have to say it like that to a demon, hardcore, he's not going to listen to you. But the way Krishna spoke it, wow, he said, "Yeah, what to say makes sense." He said, "What should I do to check?" "Touch on your own head. It is not going to work, don't worry." So he touched his own head. And boom, burst into pieces. So, it's Krishna's sweetness, completely conquered. But in most of the sadhaka's life, you know, we are not going to have the chance of having that type of audience with Krishna, like Putana or Vrukasur or anyone like that. In sadhaka's life, how does the wonderful sweetness of Krishna manifest? So Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport that Krishna knows the heart of all living entities. Right? Krishna knows the heart of each and every living entity. And knowing the heart of the living entity, those who are devotees of Krishna surrender to him. Krishna fulfills the desires of their heart even without they asking anything. So many times, right? A devotee is simply engaged. Prabhupada says there are two types of people. I think this is in the purport where I was going through it. It's where Krishna, Arjuna addresses Krishna as Govinda, means satisfier of the senses. And Prabhupada raises the point in Bhagavad Gita. Is Arjuna appealing Krishna to satisfy his own senses? And Prabhupada gives an explanation. And Prabhupada says the materialistic people, they want God to satisfy their own senses. Therefore, Krishna fulfills their desires only to the extent of what they deserve. But for devotees, Prabhupada says, for devotees, they are only engaged in Krishna's service. They are only engaged in satisfying the senses of Krishna. So in due course of time, you know, a devotee fulfills all the desires of Krishna fulfills all the desires of a devotee, even he without asking Krishna. And when that reciprocation happens, that Krishna fulfilling that desire of devotee, the devotee becomes so happy, so grateful. He goes in front of Krishna. "Krishna, thank you so much. How did you know? You know, how did you know that, you know, I wanted like this?" And then Krishna says, "Oh, no. This is all your glory." Krishna just gives all the credit to him and says, "Thank you for accepting my service." You know, and that is the sweetness of Krishna. Just like I was comparing this to one day, I was just mentioning to my good wife, I was going for office and looked outside the window and there were many clouds. So I just happened to mention that, you know, I think I need to carry my umbrella today to office. And then I just continued further talking other things. And suddenly my small daughter, she's just 2.5 years old. She remembered where the umbrella was kept. She went there, she picked up that umbrella and she came and gave it to me. "Baba, please take it." Now I had not even asked her. But she just fulfilled that desire without even asking. So, you know, I just said, "How sweet of you." So Krishna is like that. You don't even ask anything to him and he will just appear in front of you and fulfill your desire. And you know, and you tell Krishna, "Krishna, how sweet of you." Krishna says, "No, how sweet of you. You are accepting. I am doing some favor and you are accepting it. Thank you so much." And that is just like too much for a living entity. "Oh, I have never come across any boss like that. I have never come across any teacher like that. I have never come across any parent like that." And that is just, and that exchange of sweetness that a living entity has, you know, that cannot be challenged. You see, if you have an intellectual faith that Krishna is God, just like, you know, Prabhupada, this wonderful story of Prabhupada, that Prabhupada once asked all his disciples and he said, "I say Krishna is God, please prove it to me." Prabhupada said like that. So a devotee was saying, why Krishna is God? Please give me the answer. So somebody said, "No, Prabhupada, Krishna is God because Bhagavad Gita says he is." Now, Prabhupada said, Bhagavad Gita says so many things. Tell me, how I Krishna is God? So the person, someone said, no, Prabhupada, because all the acharyas said, acharyas say so many things. So all the answer is coming, Prabhupada was saying, hey, this is not like, this is not right. So ultimately somebody said, Prabhupada, because you say it. Prabhupada said, I am an old man, I will say any nonsense. Why you want to believe me? Then one disciple saying there, he said, Prabhupada, I feel Krishna is God because when I chant the holy names of Krishna, I can feel it. Prabhupada said, yes, that is the answer. You know, that is the answer. So the exchange of sweetness that a devotee has, you cannot challenge. You know, intellectually, I have convinced you. Okay, Madhvacharya says like this, this Acharya says like this, this Acharya says like this. Oh, even Muhammad said once that God is black, like that. And I can quote so many scriptures like that and convince you intellectually. But something wrong happens in your life, and somebody challenges, hey, you know, what is God? What are you talking about? And your faith will change. But that exchange of sweetness, personal experience, it cannot be challenged. Even if you are not able to verbally convince the person, but you will not accept in the heart, no, Krishna is there. What do you mean? I have an experience of that. You know, when Prabhupada, sometimes we think that why would Prabhupada call someone as rascal? You know, like I was recently sharing with one group of devotees that I was hearing one class of Srila Prabhupada. Very nice lecture. And from the voice of Prabhupada, it appears that he's very old, he's very sick. And, you know, he's like clearing his throat and speaking in a very heavy voice. And then Prabhupada says, oh, okay, if a devotee has a lot of good qualities and he's also a devotee, then it is like gold with a sweet aroma. And I was thinking, what? Gold with sweet aroma? I don't know, any of you have heard this conversation? Is there? I heard in my deity room only. One day. So, I thought maybe Prabhupada is making some mistake. No, he seems to be sick, old man. You know, I made that unfortunate judgment. And maybe he wanted to say gold with diamond. You know, maybe he said like that. And so I just forgot. And then again Prabhupada continues. He speaks the whole class. And again he says, so, therefore, a person who has very nice qualities and is also a devotee, that is like the gold with aroma. I said, again Prabhupada is saying this. And then Prabhupada immediately qualifies. He says, actually, gold in this material world does not have aroma. But in spiritual world, it has. Prabhupada says like that. And I was like, oh. So he knows what is gold in the spiritual world. That's because he's from spiritual world. He has stayed with Krishna. He has been with Krishna. He has personal experience of Krishna. And here he goes to United States of India. United States of America. And he meets scientists. And they say, there is no God. No. They say, you are a rascal. That's obvious. And I've been with him. What is it, there is no God? He said, this other person is God. Come on. I know Krishna is God. I've been with him. I've played with him. I've had his own tiffin, kachoris from his tiffin. How can you say there is no God? No. Prabhupada, you should not object Prabhupada calling rascal to someone. Because it's a matter of fact. He's saying, nonsense. You know, you're a rascal. You're not understanding God. So, I got this. Yeah, so the personal exchange that a devotee has, that cannot be challenged. And that's how, therefore, that beautiful verse in Bhagavatam, you know, Yaswanu bhavam akhilam shruti saram ekam. You know, this Bhagavatam is explained as Sva-anubhavam akhilam. You know, just few minutes ago we were discussing, Prajwari Prabhu was telling us that how devotees, they want to hear Harikatha, and anyone, any devotee who has an experience of sitting in Bhagavatam class will vouch for this particular fact. That you have going through some major problems in your life, major disturbances, and you just come somehow for a Bhagavatam class when you hear for a few minutes and you get the answer. You know? And you know, how did Krishna know that this is my problem? You know, that is his sweetness. You don't have to go and tell Krishna it is your problem. He knows it. He's there in your heart. If you just take the channel which he has recommended, you know, just take the right path, just channel, and he'll give the answer. He will give the, and that realization cannot be challenged. That is the sweetness of Krishna coming from his Harikatha. So, there is one small pastime also. I was just looking at it and how this Krishna's exchange of sweetness takes place. So there is one, this famous alwar of Sri Sampradaya. Now I don't exactly remember his name, but something like Torandi Paddi. Was that Prabhuji, you may be knowing? Or Sundar Prabhu? Torandi Paddi. I keep Tondaraddi Paddi. How was that? Tondaraddi Alwar, yeah, sorry. So this particular Alwar, this is a wonderful story of his life. Now what happened is, you know, this person was a great saint. He happened to come in the area of Ranganath. He liked the deity so much. And he said, no, this is beautiful. You know, I want to serve this Lord. So he started creating Tulsi gardens for the Lord. Made a Tulsi garden. And there are other flowers also. And he was serving the Lord. Constantly absorbed in his service. His name was Vipra Narayan. Before he was actually called as Alwar. So there was a very beautiful prostitute which stayed in that village. She was extremely beautiful. And she was the favorite of the Chola king. So she was passing to that place. And she felt a little tired. And she went and, you know, she said, okay, let me take some shelter here. So she went in that garden. And she had some companions with her, lady companions. And her beauty was such outstanding that she had never come across any man who just, you know, ignored that whole beauty like that. You know, just didn't. But this man, he was right there, just few feet away. And he was just plucking the tulsi flowers. And tulsi leaves and the manjaris, and didn't even look at her. So this said, she said to her companion, "Hey, you know, who is this guy? I mean, is he actually a man or is, you know, something else? Why he is not feeling any attraction?" So that's how the envy of the world is. You know, if somebody else has it, if somebody else has something good, you want it, and if you have it, then you want everyone to appreciate it also. What kind of psychology is that? If you have it with somebody else, you know, be happy with that. Okay, I'm so beautiful, others are not. So thank you, Krishna. No, I'm beautiful, but why are you not recognizing it? Why are you not calling me beautiful? Why not this? Why not that? So that's nature of the mind, never satisfied. So she said, you know, why is this person is not, you know, is he a man or what? So she said, actually she's man only, he's man only, but he's a very great saint. So you mean to say he will never be attracted to me? She said, yeah, of course, he's a saint. A challenge. I will see to it that this person gets attracted to me. Now, what kind of, you know, for a saintly person, is that type of, you know, we have to deal with like this with him? This is the psychology. But, you know, and yeah, another thing, this, I read it in this story in one journal, and there is mentioned that this particular Alwar, he appeared in 289th year of Kali Yuga. So, in 289th year of Kali Yuga, people have such type of spoiled consciousness. Now, 5,000 years have already passed. So, I don't know what kind of things people think about. So, you have to be very, very careful when you deal with them. You know, very, very careful. So, she said like that. So, okay, take a challenge. So she immediately went and fell at the feet of this saint and said, oh, I am such a fallen prostitute. My birth is useless. You know, I have done so much of sins. Somebody in my childhood asked me to do like this, and that's why. He said, okay. What do you want? He said, I want to stay in your ashram and serve you. Said, okay, fine. No issues. So she started serving, and she kept doing. So she, the only thing she's having in her heart is somehow I have to make him fall down. You know, and she's kept doing seva like that. And it's mentioned that her observation, that she never got a chance to seduce him. Because he was so constantly engaged in Krishna's service. I don't remember who gave that wonderful class that day in Sunday Feast only. Radha Gopinath Prabhu. He was mentioning that, you know, Hardas Thakur, you know, so many times the Mayadevi went and, you know, I want you, he said, I don't have time. So to keep the distractions away, you have to be so busy serving Krishna that you should not have any time for anything else. So one day what happened, there was very powerful rains. Rainy seasons, not good amount of tulsi leaves are there, good amount of flowers are there. So our great Acharya, he did not have any service. And he was just sitting like that in his room. And this lady saw that. So she went there. She said, "My dear sir, I see that you have been just sitting here. Maybe, you know, would you like to have some massage?" And he was a very innocent person. He said, "Okay, no problem." So he started massaging him. And as she was massaging him, you know, she started speaking sweetly, casting some kind of glances. And very soon, you know, he had that sharp arrow, our famous friend Cupid. He has that for everyone. So he hit that. And then he just got so much attracted, infatuated, he accepted her embrace. And then he just became completely attached to her. But as soon as this happened, she just got up and she just left. Because she said, "Oh, now I have won the whole thing. I have won the challenge." So she went to her friend, "Hey, see, I have won the challenge. Now you give me the money, whatever is that." But from that day onwards, this great Alvar, he just started sitting at her doorsteps, crying and crying and crying. "Please accept me, please accept me, please accept me." She said, "You want to come? You have to produce gold coins, you have to produce enough gold, then only you'll get the embrace again, otherwise forget it." She immediately showed her real rupa. So, and he just, this whole day he would just sit there, forgot his whole devotional service, forgot his attachment, everything. So one day there was a procession of, Ranganath and Ranganayaki. And the procession was going on, and Ranganayaki saw this person sitting at the door and crying. And she said, "You know, Ranganath, he's your devotee. What are you doing?" "What can I do? You know, he just fell down." Now, do you feel that Krishna, you know, he doesn't have any compassion, and only, you know, Lakshmi has the compassion? Krishna also has the compassion, you know, but Krishna wants to glorify Lakshmi. You know? Krishna says that actually she is more compassionate. Krishna wants to glorify Srimati Radharani. "I don't have any compassion. I'm just a hardcore Shasak and Vishwavijeta. That's all." But if you want mercy, you know, that's there. Srimati Radharani, you know, or Lakshmi Devi. So she said, you know, she said, "Oh yeah, what you say, Lakshmiji, is right. I have to do something for him. So what can you do?" She said, "Lakshmi, you just wait and see what I do." So he just came down. He took a form of a servant and he went. He took a golden plate. That golden plate was taken from his own altar. He took the golden plate and knocked the door. Now, how Krishna, everything that he does is so sweet. We're talking about it. So this prostitute has been fed up of hearing the knocking of the door of this particular man sitting on the doorstep whole day. She was fed up of that. But this knock was very sweet because the knock came from somebody else. So talk, talk, talk. "Oh," she said, "this is a different knock. So let me go and open it." So he opened the door and there was one person. He said, who are you?" He said, "I am the sevak of Vipra Narayan." "Really? What has brought you here?" He said, "No, he just sent this plate of gold for you. Please take it." "So, what?" "Yeah, he wants to come to you and wants to have your association. So he has sent." "Really? What is your name?" He said, "My name is Ranga." "Okay, I never knew that he had a servant named Ranga." "Fine, I stayed with him for so many times in ashram. There was nobody Ranga there." So then this man came out and he went to this Vipra Narayan. He said, "Hey Vipra, get up. Stop crying. So what happened? You know, who are you?" "I am the servant of that prostitute." You know, he didn't ask the name. So he said, "See, go, she's waiting for you." And he went there. And as soon as he went there, you know, he had her association. So after the association was over, you know, he asked her, "You know, how did you allow me all of a sudden? You know, you sent your servant." "What? I? Who was he?" He said, "Ranga, his name was Ranga." Then all of a sudden that epiphany happened. "My God, that means my Supreme Personality of Godhead went to a prostitute just for me? And for me what? Not for me going back to Godhead, for me to enjoy her?" You know, he just couldn't take that. You know, that is that experience of sweetness. You know, so he had seen the beauty of the Lord. He had seen the face of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, but that exchange of sweetness, Krishna did like this for me? And after all of a sudden I giving him up his service, falling down to my senses, for me he did like this? No, he just couldn't take that. And he became an Alvar. become a great devotee of the Lord after that. And of course, then the pujaris found out that the plate is missing, and then the plate was found at her, and then that became a great news everywhere that even the prostitute got the mercy, and so on and so forth. So that, the point which I'm trying to derive is that experience of sweetness, just like we heard the story of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and this one particular brahmachari, you know, who, you know, he was asked to go out, and then, you know, somehow they found him again in a shop. We don't have time to repeat the whole pastime. But, you know, when he said, you know, Guru Maharaj sent all of you just for me, you know, that he couldn't take it. You know, that's personal sweetness. So a pure devotee and Krishna himself, a Krishna through his pure devotee, he ensures, you know, that devotees keep getting such doses of personal sweetness so that they are maintained. So that there, and that is the sweetness of Krishna, and that is, and therefore this shloka, before actually telling the shloka, I just want to tell you one small personal experience, that sometimes the mercy coming from the devotee also, you know, so you remember in year 2001 or 2002, I don't remember, that year we actually had a grand holy celebration in the temple. I don't know which, you remember that year? 2004, okay. So, so there was very, I mean, I would say that those who have not seen it have missed it. It was something amazing out of the world. So Radhanath Maharaj, you know, he was here and he gave a wonderful class. And I don't know how many times he must have stressed this in his class, that Vaishnavas, when they take colors in their hand, they just say Radhe Radhe and Radhe Krishna, and just shows us few sprinkles. And he spoke that so many times. But just like, you know, when a glass of champagne comes in the hat of a drunkard, you know, he just, similarly, you know, all of the people who were drunk in the kirtan, and then the color came out and all instructions were completely forgotten. Nobody knew anything about what Maharaj said, and they were just throwing colors at each other like mind, wild, tap, tap, anywhere, anywhere. And even the decent people who knew the instruction, they thought that, you know, everybody is breaking, so let me also break. That's like a mob psychology. So it just went on, and like mad, this whole temple had become literally a mess, believe me. And after the whole kirtan was over, you know, just like, you know, a person, his drunken state comes down, he starts feeling, arey, maine kya kar diya, yaar. So suddenly everybody started realizing, oh, we have made a mess. They started cleaning stuff, but you know, it was not so easy to clean. But they realized that it's a major, major damage. Cleaning all this is going to take a lot of time. And with all this guilt, you know, then I, somehow my wife, she didn't become the part of this conspiracy so much. So she had exited on the temple and for some time. So she was little good looking, and with, and I was like completely black, fully. And me and my wife, we were just walking down the stairs, and suddenly Radhanath Swami Maharaj came in front of us. And I did not know whether to stop, not to stop, look at him. Or I was like, because we have grandly, openly not followed the instructions. And so I just folded my hand. I said, Maharaj, please forgive us. So we have done this mistake. He said, why are you saying forgive us? She was very good in the whole thing. So forgive me. So I said, Maharaj, please forgive me. And, you know, Maharaj said, he just kept looking. And then he said, you know, both of you, you are looking like Radha Madhav. So, you can imagine, you know, now I've still not forgotten that. I mean, you don't follow the instruction of a person, and you, on his face, you do something completely wrong and destructive, and he says, you are looking like the black Krishna of Mayapur, because of so much of black color on the body. And I was amazed. I said, but Maharaj, but all this cleaning, I know you just gave us some extra service. Thank you for that. So I could never take that whole thing. So Krishna and his devotees, they exactly know how to make you so comfortable. So guilt was there. I understood that I am never going to do this again. Believe me. Even this festival happens again. You know, that is sure. But at the same time, we just made you feel so comfortable. You know. So that interaction, so anytime any problem happens in the life and you feel like leaving devotional service, this thing comes in the mind. No, but you know, this person forgave me even if I was such a rascal. This person saved me, this person, and then, you know, you won't leave. So that's the beautiful. So therefore, in one purport of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada mentions this verse, raso vaisah, and then he says, rasam hi eva ayam labdhva anandi bhavati. Beautiful. So raso vaisah, Krishna is sweet, but rasam hi eva ayam labdhva, only this rasa makes a living entity happy. Krishna is reservoir of rasa, and only this rasa makes a living entity happy. There is no other way that living entity becomes happy in this material world. Rasam hi eva ayam labdhva anandi bhavati. There's no other way that. So therefore, even Shishashtakam verse, Mahaprabhu says, sarvatma snapanam. And Prabhupada translates that sarvatma snapanam as the nectar for which the living entity has been always anxious for. All of us have been anxious in life after life after life after life after life for this type of sweetness exchange from Krishna or Krishna's devotee. Therefore, you know, that when that happens, I remember in my previous days of Krishna consciousness, there was this Hindi song, very famous, that Suraj ki jalti hui kirno se mil jaye palbhar ki chhaya, aisa hi sukh maine paya jab se sharan mein main teri aaya, mere Ram. Yet, now October heat is going on, scorching sun. And as soon as you enter the beautiful lotus feet shelter of Radha Gopinath, there's a nice AC. So, you know, you immediately feel, oh, so nice. But it's just not the external AC, but the internal AC of Krishna, you know, fulfilling that nectar, that taste that he gives you. Immediately you feel, oh, so nice. So we will today, we have some good amount of time. I don't want to bore you so much. Actually, I was going to say that I was given opportunity to give Sunday feast for the first time. Every Sunday feast, what happens is, you know, I take a nap. No, I hear the class, but in which I just take a nap. So I was thinking that how many Sunday feasts I have taken naps. So if I have to take a reaction of this, then my Sunday feast goes on, how many people should take naps? And I was thinking that, you know, I was praying to Krishna, you know, it's such a discouraging thing. If I get the reaction of all my Sunday feasts together today, you know, I am finished. Practically the whole hall will be completely sleeping. So I don't want to go to that extent, but still we have some time. So out of the innumerable sweet pastimes of Lord Krishna, you know, one pastime which was very nice, I personally, when I read the pastime for the first time, I actually heard about that pastime in our counseling meeting. Siddhama Prabhu told us that pastime. He just mentioned, it's a very nice pastime. It has lot of mystery and suspense. And I was a great fan of Sherlock Holmes before I became a devotee. So I said, my God, I have to see this pastime. So that was the pastime of Shamanta Kajwel. For those of you who know, there are many murders and conspiracies in that. It's a nice pastime. So we'll just try to ponder upon this pastime. It's a very nice, instructive story. So what happened in the kingdom of Dwarka, there were many other small kings also. And there was one of the king, his name was Satrajit. There is one medical tablet called Cetirizine. And generally, I always used to forget the name of this tablet until I came across this story. So whenever I go to the shop, I remember the story, Satrajit Cetirizine. Okay, please give me Cetirizine. Like that. So this, Satrajit. Now this Satrajit was a great devotee of sun god. His choice. You know, it's like, suppose in Radha Gopinath temple, we have so many wonderful counselors are there. And, you know, somehow Krishna decides to take one more incarnation as a devotee. And he wants to experience the rasa of being a counselor. And he becomes a counselor of one of the 55 counselors. You know, who won't like to be his counselee? And he's Krishna. He can have 100 counselee meetings simultaneously at all different places, with all attending and deriving nectar. But still you choose to be the counselee of somebody else. That's your choice. That's your personal choice. I don't want to be Krishna's counselee. So this person was not devotee of Krishna. Although Krishna was personally there. He was a devotee of sun god. So his personal choice. He has whatever. So sun god gave him, as a benediction, he gave him a jewel. The name of this jail was Shaman Takjwel. And, you know, just like a materialistic person, like my brother-in-law, he runs a hospital in Baramati. So doctors, you know, they have this competition, like who is a better doctor. So the another person who also has a similar hospital, he was telling me that this man, you know, when his hospital was opening, his hospital opened, he tried to find out what type of car I have. And he came and visited my hospital in a bigger car than that car. And he gave me an invitation. You know, so any type of opulence you have, which is better than others, you want to just show off. He came in a big Honda City and, you know, I mean, nothing wrong with Honda City. It's a nice car. But I'm just showing that, you know, this person, just to impress that, you know, I have something so nice. So similarly, the Satrajit, you know, he had something so nice, so he had to show it off. Like in my college days, so that he wore that diamond. So in my college, I was in Pune. So in Pune, there is a slang. They say, "Kai shining martore?" So they say, if somebody is doing too much of extra smartness, they say, "Kai shining marto?" So like that. So he wanted to do his shining marofi business. So he wore that nice jewel and he came. But that jewel was so effulgent that when the citizens of Dwarka saw him coming like that, so he was going everywhere with the jewel in his neck, they thought that, oh, his son God who has come. They knew Krishna is Narayan, Supreme Personality of Godhead. So every day so many demigods come and meet him. So now sun god has come to meet him. So they were like, wow, you know, sun god has come, sun god has come. So some few important citizens, they went to Krishna. They said, "Krishna, you know, sun god has come to meet you." So Krishna was playing chess. So he didn't look at him. So he said, "No, he's not sun god." So what? He looks like sun god. He said, no. He's Satrajit, local king. But he has that beautiful jewel, you know. So this, and he was just, he didn't even go to meet Krishna. He was just doing his, you know, shining marofi business all over Dwarka city. So Krishna called him. Because he didn't go himself, so Krishna called him. He's like, "Why don't you come and meet me?" So he went. He went to meet. So Krishna said, "See, King Ugrasen," again, you know, he has that, he's a prince, he doesn't want to be king. So Krishna said, "Okay, King Ugrasen is the king of Dwarka, and he's the greatest personality. And anything that anybody has in this city which is nice and opulent should be given to the king. So this Shaman Takjwel, why don't you give it to the king? Let it be the king's property." So Satrajit did not say anything. He did not give the jewel also. He just left from there. Now you may ask, you know, Krishna, why he has to ask for this? Is some kind of dadagiri that's happening? No, you have something nice, so you better give it to me. Otherwise I'll see you in the corner. Is Krishna trying to do something like that with this Satrajit? No. Again, Krishna's sweetness. Because Krishna is present in everyone's heart, because he knows past, present and future, he knows the ill effects of having a jewel. Just last year I was speaking with our Vishakha Priya Mataji. They did this drama of Ladini Mataji. And this whole story, the background, what is the background? The background is all these people fighting over diamonds. That's the whole war about. Can you imagine the countries of the whole world which are somehow the most poverty-stricken countries are the African countries. And the largest reservoirs of diamond and gold are in African countries. Do you know that? So can you imagine how ruthless and selfish the people of this world can be? Of powerful and dominating nation, that those people are suffering like literally like insects and cockroaches, and that money, you know, that blood diamond money is being used outside everywhere to influence the wealth. I was reading one article. One country, I think it is Ethiopia. It has lot of fertile sand, my dear friends. I was shocked to read this. Ethiopia has fertile sand? Yes. What do they grow on that sand? Rose and cashews. That's what is grown. And all that is exported. Can't you grow wheat? Can't you grow rice? And you see this document. And the same people who do this, unfortunately, they will make videos of how the people are suffering. You know, they will make NGOs to give donations. Just stop this cashew and rose making, that's all. Make grains and everyone is nice. So there is no extent to how much selfishness a person can have in this world. And the innocent people who watch all this, they blame God. So Krishna is telling Satrajit, Satrajit, give this jewel back. He didn't mention the whole blood and diamonds and all that scenario. He just said, please give this back. But this person was not intelligent enough to understand what Krishna is saying. Now there is a reason why he said no for giving this jewel back. This jewel had a very nice quality. Anybody knows what is the quality? Yeah, the jewel, wherever it went, used to produce 170 pounds of gold every day. Any maths experts here? 170 pounds is how many kgs? Maybe 80 kgs? 90 kgs? What is the rate of gold in the market? 26,000 per 10 gram, that much I know. So 1 kg is how much? 26,000 into 100. That is 26 lakhs. 26 lakhs per kg is there. And 90 kgs of gold every day. If you had that gold and Gopinath ji came in your dream, I want that Shyamantak jewel back. Honestly, tell me how many of you would give it back? Forget about Krishna. Prabhupada came in the dream and said, you know, I want that jewel back. Honestly, raise your hands. How many would have given the jewel back to Krishna? So let's not blame Satrajit. So he said, no, you know, forget it. He just dismissed the. On the contrary, he installed that jewel in an altar in his house. And he employed Brahmanas to worship that jewel. So, you know, you can imagine Brahmanas, Krishna is already there. He is Namo Brahmana Devaya, and Brahmanas are worshipping the jewel. So it's a very, and he is not worshipping Krishna, and he is worshipping the jewel. So his choice. So then what happened? One day, his brother, he also wanted to do his piece of shining Marufai business. So he took the jewel, he wore it in his neck, and he went. He went in the forest. So what happened in the forest, he was riding on a horse. So one lion saw this. The lion jumped, pounced upon him. He killed Satrajit's brother. He killed the horse and took the jewel away. So something strange, you know. You come to know in Borivali National Park, one cheetah attacked one house and then he took all 10,000 rupees in the house. So what kind of cheetah is he? It's not heard of. How can I can understand you took the flesh of the animal or horse and you took the whatever and the horse was eaten, but he took the jewel away. And so it's strange. So how it happened, you know? So wherever there is this jewel, wherever there is gold, or wherever there is diamond in general, it will attract some kind of bloodshed. That is the unfortunate fact of this material world. So wherever the diamonds are there, you know, that will attract some kind of bloodshed somehow. So therefore, you know, devotees should be very, very careful when they are dealing with that. That's somehow it's there. I mean, I heard it from a senior disciple of Prabhupada. He explained to me. So wherever there are diamonds, you will see there will be some bloodshed. So in the forest, who can kill you? But a lion killed him. Now that news of the lion taking the jewel, it went. There's a grapevine in forest also. We never understand how the news goes. And that news went to the great devotee of the Lord who was staying in the same forest. His name was Jambavan. He said, oh, this king has a jewel. This lion, he has a jewel. And he killed this person. Okay, let me see. So Jambavan went to this lion's cave. And he killed that lion with bare hands. Of course, he was a bear. So he had bare hands. And he also had bare hands. So with his bare hands, he killed the lion, right? And he just killed him. He took the jewel. Now, why he did that, that's not explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. But he did that. And he took the jewel. And then suddenly he felt, oh no, what is the use of this jewel for me? So he gave it to his boy for playing. So he could take it. Suddenly the Sanatana Goswami bhav, you know, it came in his heart. The Sanatana Goswami also had that jewel lying in his garbage. So that all devotees, you know, they're ultimately detached. So he's a great devotee. So he saw this, no use. So he just gave it to his child for playing. But in the meanwhile, what happened? The brother did not return home. And Satrajit, What do you think he did? He said, because Krishna wanted this jewel, Krishna has done some conspiracy. He has killed my brother. And he started spreading this rumor in all parts of Dwarka city. Everyone was talking about it. So that news came to Krishna also. That this Satwaji is saying like that. This is a typical behavior of a conditioned soul. When the good advice is given, you don't listen to it. You invite trouble. When the trouble comes, you blame Krishna. That's a typical. Everyone does that. Good advice is given to you. You will not listen to it. When the trouble comes, even Gandhari. Great chaste lady, you know. But after the whole Mahabharata war was over, Krishna went with Pandavas. And Gandhari said, you are God, no? You are God, right? You could have stopped the whole war. Why did you didn't stop it? Krishna said, hey, come on, I did my whole best effort to stop it. Your sons wanted it, so they gave it ahead. So he said, no, but still you are God, you should have stopped it. So I curse you, so and so, so and so, so and so. So even at 5,000 years back, somebody as chaste and pure as Gandhari could have this type of psychology in certain situations. You know, so what to speak of today's conditioned soul? So Satyaji typically he blamed Krishna. You know, he is the problem. Now very intelligent, Krishna, sometimes we say that a devotee never retaliates. A devotee never justifies, right? You know, we have heard this philosophy. The devotee, when you accuse a devotee, when you accuse a, what is that verse, Prabhuji, in Bhagavatam? Tiraskruta Viplabdha Shapta Sapta Hata Api Nasitat Pratikurvanti. No retaliation. Even if you blame a devotee, you accuse him, you kill him, there is no retaliation. Now, my dear friends, this philosophy has to be practiced in devotional circles and not with materialistic people. Otherwise, they will take you for a ride. So Krishna knows that, right? So I was reading this one wonderful book. It's a book on Chhatrapati Shivaji Maharaj. It's a Marathi book. And that book, he mentions that how the first attack on Maharashtra, no, it was done by Alauddin Khalji. He came and attacked Maharashtra with only 8,000 horses. That's all. 8,000 horse riders. And he won the whole battle. And then he does some analysis of why this battle was, why they could not succeed in the battle. Or why this battle was lost. So this author, he's not a devotee. But he says this is because of the lack of understanding of Krishna Niti amongst the politicians of India at that time. Just see. He says, because the politicians did not fully understand Krishna Niti, that's why they got defeated. So Krishna, when the accusation came on him, he didn't say, oh, okay, fine. Everybody knows I am God. Everyone knows that I am great. Why should I really justify this whole thing, accusation and all? No. He said, no. Let's find out. He's accusing me. He's blaming me. Let's find out. So he took few trusted members, senior representatives of the citizens, now because now the whole city was talking about Krishna. So he took these few trusted representatives and he went in the forest. Let's see what's happening. As soon as he went in the forest, he saw the lion is dead. And they found the dead body of Satyaji's brother. They found the dead body of horse and the body was killed by a lion. So as soon as all these chief Dwarka people, they saw that, they said, ha, that means Krishna has not done anything. Of course, Krishna is lion also in the form of Narsingadeva. But you know, this is definitely done by some lion. So, you know, Krishna is safe. He is harmless. But then where is the jewel? He is dead. Where is the jewel? And why would a lion be interested in a jewel? So don't forget the fact the jewel used to produce 170 pounds of gold every day. So they saw a lot of traces of gold following a particular path. So it must have gone in this way. So they all started following that path. And that led to the dead body of a lion. Even the lion is dead. So where is the jewel? Again, traces of gold. So everybody started following. That went to a opening of a cave, a tunnel, a big, huge tunnel. So there was discussion now, who will go inside the tunnel? Krishna said, should I go? So see, Krishna is very sharp. Krishna could have gone alone in the forest also. And would have come out. But then people would have still blamed him. Hey, you went alone, kuch akela jaake karke aa gaya. You are still the faulty person. So he took all the representative of people with him. So Krishna Niti you have to learn from scriptures. How Krishna works is, he said there are three things which Krishna has, which are very deep. Mahanadi Maharaj published this book, 64 Qualities of Krishna. Three things of Krishna which are very deep. Says Krishna has a very deep voice. Krishna has a very deep navel. And Krishna has a very deep intelligence. You can never fathom what Krishna is thinking. I remember one time Prahlada Swami Maharaj was giving a class here. And he said, you see here and you see Gopinath is smiling. But why he is smiling? We don't know. Whom he is smiling at? What is his mind? You know, it's a very deep intelligence. You can't fathom. So Krishna took all these people and they all went to this tunnel opening. And then they said, oh, now what to do inside? So everybody was scared. No, we don't want to go inside. They saw it practically had no end. Krishna said, don't worry, I will go. So of course it's not mentioned that Krishna carried a torch inside. He himself is self-illuminant. So he went in the tunnel. And he runs and at the end, he saw a small boy playing with Shyamantak Jewel. Krishna said, hey, that's the Shyamantak Jewel. So he immediately went to the boy to take it. And the boy, you know, typically, saw the jewel and started, saw Krishna, started crying. So, you know, again, Krishna is attractive to all of us, you know, but not to everybody. Some people may not like Krishna also. And there was a nurse of this boy. She saw Krishna. She saw Krishna trying to grab the jewel. So she started shouting, some stranger has come trying to get the jewel. So immediately Jambavan came there with anger. He said, who is this person who has come? And if this person has come, let me fight with him. Started fighting with Krishna immediately. So Srila Prabhupada makes a wonderful comment in Krishna book. He said, Jambavan is a great devotee of Krishna. He's a great devotee of Lord Ramchandra. Why is it that he's not able to understand he's Krishna, the same Supreme Personality of Godhead? He said, because he approached him with anger. Anger covers your intelligence completely. You know, what is that? Krodhat bhavati sammoha. Sammohat smriti vibhrama. Smriti bhamshat buddhi nasho. Buddhi nashat pranashyati. So that krodha, with that anger he was there, saw Krishna, couldn't recognize his Krishna. Started fighting with him. So Krishna also, you know, he is not like, hey, don't you remember? Please be pacified. I am your true Supreme Personality of Godhead. No, he said, okay, want to fight? Okay, let's fight. So they were fighting with weapons. Now it's mentioned that fighting continued for 28 days. First they started with weapons. So the weapons were our. Then they started with stones. Huge stones. Now this is like, you know, recently we were discussing about this Ramayana epic also. They show this Sugriva and Vali fighting with huge stones. Now it's not like when there is band, you know, people throw stones on the train and they are like this much size. So it's not really that type of stone fight, which, you know, it's like massive stones throwing at each other, bouncing and pushing that stone into pieces, and that went on for a long time. So ultimately the stones got over. Then both were left with their bare hands. So one was with bare hands and one only with bare hands. And then they were like jumping and pouncing and punching and huge, and the sound of each punch of Krishna or Jambavan was like a thunderbolt. Like you hear thunderbolt sometimes in rainy season, kharad, and it was like, oh, what happened? Each punch was like that. And it was punch going on. Jambavan, it took him 28 days to realize that the person I am fighting with is not an ordinary man. That anger continued for 28 days. That's really tough. He was a really powerful person. And he has been existing since time of Ramayana. And in Ramayana, he says that I am very old, so I will not be able to jump so much. And here, he is fighting with Krishna for 28 days. So how much strength he had? Practically uncountable, unmeasurable. So that fighting went on for long time. Dham. And he said after 28 days, all his joint became slackened completely. You know? And that's the time he understood, maybe I should surrender to this person. Then he started thinking, who is this person? So our, you know, Kumar Gaurang Prabhu, he sends this wonderful SMS. one SMS he sent, I liked it very much, beautiful. He said, people don't change the way they think because there is a better alternative. They change the way they think only when there is no other alternative. So this man was had a particular way of thinking, and he started changing his way only when there was no other alternative than surrendering. Because all the muscles had slackened and nothing was there. He was just completely, who are you? And Krishna was still like this. Okay, so then he understood, oh, you are the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then he understood his guilt. He prayed, so Krishna, you know, I made a mistake, please forgive me. So why, what brings you here? Then Krishna told the whole story, that how he has been blamed for stealing this small piece of stone, Shyamantak jewel. He said, that's it, my lord, please take it. And I'm really sorry that I had to take you, I had to stop. But meanwhile, what happened in 28 days, all the citizens of Dwarka, they started thinking, oh, what is going on? They were outside, they stayed for 12 days. Then they returned back. So they returned back, and they returned back without Krishna. So Rukmini saw, all the citizens came without Krishna. Vasudev, Devaki saw, they came without Krishna. So they started blaming Satrajit. Satrajit, because of you, my husband has gone to forest. Because of you, my son has gone to forest. He has not written, something wrong has happened to him. So he was like, okay, no. He had the blame, he got the blame back. So in the meanwhile, he said, for just this small stone, my lord, I held you for 28 days. Okay, I'll give you my daughter also. So he gave the stone, he gave his daughter. And after 28 days, Krishna came back. Suddenly, people of Dwarka, they saw Krishna with a jewel and with a new wife. And they were just so happy. So, wow! So nice. So Krishna immediately summoned all the kings of Dwarka. And he called Satrajit also in that. And then he told the whole story. Told the entire story of what happened. And then he gave the jewel back. Satrajit, you know, he just couldn't lift his neck. He was so embarrassed. He was so sorry. He was so ashamed of himself. So he just put his neck down. Now see, the attachment to jewel. He didn't say, Krishna, you take the jewel please back. He took it back to his home. He took the jewel from Krishna, took it back to his home. But then that guilt kept eating him, eating him, eating him. You know, he couldn't sleep whole night. You know, wow, I have done a big mistake. What should I do? What should I do? Then suddenly he realized, oh, I have a beautiful daughter. And so many wonderful qualified princes have asked for that hand of that daughter. And I have not said yes to them. Krishna is a qualified person. I will marry my daughter to him. So he took Satyabhama, that was his daughter's name. And then he took Satyabhama, he took the jewel also with him this time. And he presented the jewel to Krishna. He said, Krishna, you know, please take this jewel and please take my daughter also. Now Krishna is so smart. You know, he was very happy that Satyabhama was presented there. I have heard in one class that actually, of course this is very high level, that actually Srimati Radharani and Chandravali, they are the two sakhis. So Chandravali Sakhi, she is supposed to be the opposite party. Now don't ask me details. I personally don't understand so much. Radharani is Krishna's favorite gopi. So Chandravali actually expands herself as Rukmini Devi. And Radharani expands herself as Satyabhama. I have heard this in one lecture, and please correct me if I am wrong, but I have heard it in one class. So Krishna was very happy Satyabhama is there now. She is getting married. And therefore Satyabhama constantly had that type of relationship with Krishna. Of, you know, and she would control Krishna. Where Radharani controls Krishna out of her love. So she would control Krishna. So Satyabhama, and so Krishna was very happy. But he was so smart, Krishna. He said, in his heart he knew that this person is still attached to the jewel. He said, Satrajit, he said, I don't want the jewel. You please take it back. So he was so happy. Probably that same interaction, how do you know what's in my heart? So he took the jewel back and went there and kept in his altar again. Now what happened in this whole episode? So says Krishna got married to two nice queens. So Krishna was always on a positive side. But the people to whom Satrajit had promised that I will give my hand to you, they started saying, hey, what happened to this man? All of a sudden, I was singing so many days, Satyabhama will get married to me. All of a sudden, she gets married to Krishna. What is this nonsense? So one of that person, his name was Shatadhanva. Very devilish mentality person. Now what happened when Satrajit was doing all these things? two of the favorite devotees of Krishna, Kritavarma and Akrura. They also started singing this Satrajit, you know, he's really like this, he's not a good person. So Satyadharma was making plans of killing Satrajit because he deceived him. And these people, Akrura and Kritavarma, they encouraged him. Now they are great devotees of Krishna. Why would they encourage someone to kill somebody? Now that description is given afterwards. But they gave that. And Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book that because Akrura took Krishna from Vrindavan to Mathura in his own chariot, he broke the hearts of all Brajavasis. And therefore he was inflicted with the Vaishnava Prad. And that made him think in a negative way, even at this particular time. So Satrajit, he went. Now what happened for some time in the middle? The Pandavas, they were attempted to burn alive in the Lakshagruha. And of course they escaped. But that news came to Hastinapur, that Pandavas are now dead. That whole house in which they stayed is now completely burnt. So Krishna wanted to see who is happy and who is not happy about it. He knew Pandavas had escaped. But he wanted to see with his own eyes, with his face to face, who is actually happy about it and who is not happy about it. So he took Balaram and he went to Hastinapur. Right? So for that small period, Krishna disappeared from Dwarka. He was not there. So Satyabhama went to her father's house. She was staying there. Right? So this Satadhanva, one night, he came with a sword. He just went in the chambers of Satrajit. Satrajit was lying on the bed. And he just butchered him. Killed him. And all the women of the house, Satyabhama herself, they were all there. And they had to see this inevitable fate of her father dying in front of her own eyes. So therefore, wherever the diamond is there, it will attract bloodshed. You can't avoid it. So Satyadharma, he killed him, he took the jewel away and ran. So he came to the house of Kritavarma. Now after the stealing was over, then he realized, Arey baap re, abhi maine koi mistake kiya, bahut bada mistake kiya. What happened is, Satyabhama, she saw her father like that. And you know, it's explained in Bhagavatam, Satyabhama had a Kshatriya spirit. So she was not a person who was going to keep quiet. She took a chariot, she went to Hastinapur. And she told Krishna that, Krishna, my father has been killed. And this Satyadharma, we saw him in the night. He came, he killed my father. Now Krishna, just see the sweet aspect of Krishna. Krishna didn't say, yeah, maine bola tha na usko. So many times I was telling him, don't take the jewel, don't take the jewel. No, he didn't say like that. Krishna's eyes actually were filled with tears. It's mentioned in Bhagavatam. Krishna's eyes were filled with tears. He cried. He cried. Because see, ultimately, you know, generally we have this concept that we are a servant of Krishna, but ultimately we are Krishna's children. You know, the devotee thinks that, you know, I am servant of Krishna. Like today morning, Govind Prabhu was explaining, you know, that Lakshman used to say that Ram calls me his brother. That is his greatness. But as far as I am concerned, I am just his servant. That's all. So from his perspective, he was servant. But from Ram's perspective, he was his brother. So from Krishna's perspective, we are Krishna's own children. That beautiful shloka which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was singing during his South India Yatra. I don't remember the first line of that. But the second line reads, Ugropi tu anug... What is that? Ugropi anugrayam... So bhaktanam nuru kesarim, kesariva swapotanam annesham ugra vikrama. Just imagine, Mahaprabhu is going to South India Yatra, and in this whole kirtan he was singing this verse. Ugropi anugrayam so bhaktanam nuru kesarim. He's talking about Narsingadev. Because of South India, the entire Ahobillam and all the kshetras, the Narsinga kshetras, he's glorifying Narsingadev. He's saying, Ugropi anugrayam. He's ugra. He's very ferocious. But so bhaktanam, with his own children, Nrukesarim, this Nrukesarim is very sweet. He is not Ugra. Then he gives an example, Kesariva Swapotanam. Just like a lioness. In Gujarati there is this word Potanam, right? Potanam means our own. So this Potanam is here also. So Krishna's own. Krishna considers devotees as Potanam, his own people. Kesariva Swapotanam, a lioness, she's very affectionate to her own children. But Annesha Mugra Vikrama, But for others, very ferocious. So you may be considering, we always consider Krishna as from Krishna's viewpoint towards you as he's my own child. And Krishna actually undergoes the feelings. So Krishna cried. Oh, this person died. Krishna cried. And then as a prince, as a kshatriya, he said, okay, but the punishment has to be done. So immediately Krishna and Balaram, they left from there. They left from there, started coming to Dwarka. That news came to Shatadhanva. That now Krishna and Balaram are coming back. And he was like, finished now. Now I can't do anything. So he went to Kritavarma. He said, Kritavarma, you know, you are a relative of Krishna. You are a devotee. You do something about me. Kritavarma said, sorry, I can't do anything. They encouraged him to kill. But now he's saying, no, sorry. His supreme personality of Godhead. Nothing can be hidden to it. He's a supreme controller. You cannot stop him. Sorry, I can't do anything. Then he went to Akrura. Akrura said, no, even I can't do anything. But I can just advise you just run away. Otherwise, but even if you run away, they will catch you. Anyways. So he said, if you have the jewel, they'll definitely catch you and kill you. So Satyadhanva kept that jewel with Akrura. Akrura, and then he ran away. So Krishna came to know the Satyadhanva ran away. Now he ran away so far, it's mentioned that he had almost reached the provinces of Mithila. That is Bihar. And Krishna is in Dwarka. And Krishna started chasing Satyadhanva from Dwarka and he caught him. I mean, what was the speed of the horses and speed of the chariot? I mean, you can't imagine. From even the flight doesn't go so fast. he just went and they caught Satyadhanva. Satyadhanva was still running away. So ultimately Krishna said, you know, he's just too much. So he sent his chakra that cut off the head of Satyadhanva. As soon as Satyadhanva fell down to the ground, Krishna and Balaram both went there. They saw all his clothes. Jewel was not there. Where is the jewel? Again, mystery. So Krishna came to Dwarka city. And then Krishna noticed something incredible in Dwarka. He noticed that day by day, this Akrura is becoming very rich. So it's like Akrura gave a good order of golden furniture and things like that. Yeah, it's mentioned. Akrura ordered a golden altar for his deities at home. And suddenly somebody comes in your home and says, okay, I have Sangam Rohar ka altar diya, theek hai. Wooden altar, theek hai. You know, sir, altar of gold? Someone giving order? So Krishna noticed that. So now see, again, wonderful. Krishna, you know, now he did not deal with Akrura the way he dealt with Satrajit. Again, very sensitive. So he was just called Akrura. Akrura, you know, I just want to talk with you. We are dealing with big people who have big position in order to be very sensitive, very expert. Actually, there is one seminar of Ravindra Swarup Prabhu where he speaks about how to deal with big people who have responsible positions. Rasnath Prabhu told me that. I have never studied that seminar so much, but he speaks about it. So he's a big man, Akrura. He called him, made him sit. And Krishna said, Akrura, you cannot deny the fact that you have Shamantak jewel. You are direct to the point. Akrura, very gently said, Akrura, see, you cannot deny the fact that you have Shamantak jewel, right? And Akrura was like, how do you know my heart? Because I am seeing you giving altar for golden altar, things like that. So it's there, you have it. So yes, I have it. So Krishna said, so in the interest of all the citizens, I request you to give that jewel to Ugrasen, but you can also keep it. Whatever you like. Because you are in Dwarka city, as long as the jewel remains in Dwarka city, the Dwarka city will not be affected by any pestilence or any famine or anything like that. So very nicely Krishna spoke with Akrura, and then the chapter was completely over. So in so many wonderful pastimes of Lord Krishna, we see such beautiful and sweet dealings. And if we somehow study this literature, you know, we will be so perfect in our life. There is I was reading this history of King Pratap Rudra. And I just said that let me study the history of Pratap Rudra Maharaj from a historical perspective. Not from the Vaishnava perspective as such, but from the history perspective. So in history, one Oriya historian has mentioned a incidents in the life of Pratap Rudra Maharaj of a war between Pratap Rudra and Krishna Devaraya. So you know Pratap Rudra Maharaj, his kingdom extended right from Hubli River all the way to south. You know, governor of Pratap Rudra Maharaj, he was Ramananda Rai, and he was governor of Madras, and he's the king of Orissa. So you can imagine the extent of their kingdom. And but below that, there was this kingdom of Mangalore run by Krishna Dev Rai. You know, the Krishna Dev Rai is the famous, the Tenali Ram fame, Krishna Dev Rai. He was also a Vaishnava king. So there was a battle between Krishna Dev Rai and Pratap Rudra. So before that battle, Krishna Dev Rai sent some spies to see what is the life cycle of this person, what is he attached to, what does he do. And that spy's report is recorded in the history. And it is mentioned, Pratap Rudra Maharaj, every day in the morning, for 2 hours, used to hear Harikatha from qualified Brahmanas. Every day in the morning. You know. And you can imagine, actually when Pratap Rudra Maharaj came down for this fight, immediately our great Nawab Hussain Shah, he attacked the kingdom of Orissa from top. So Pratap Rudra Maharaj immediately went back. And that time the kingdom actually was very much before Bengal. So the way Pratap Rudra Maharaj went back, he actually retreated the whole forces of Nawab Hussain Shah up to the Hubli River. He just pushed them behind. He was so powerful. And we see in that same book of Shivaji Maharaj also it is mentioned that when he was a small child in Pune, they have this Lal Mahal place. Any qualified Brahmana who would come to the city of Pune would be invited to speak on Bhagavatam, Mahabharata and Ramayana in the house. And Shivaji Maharaj would sit and hear for 2 to 3 hours every day from qualified Brahmanas. So what really makes you a perfect king is not just the strength and strategic management, but it's the Harikatha, listening of Harikatha on a regular basis. That's what makes you powerful. Right? And this, coming back to where I began from, this book which Prabhupada told, Krishna the Reservoir of Pleasure, I read something very nice in the book. So Prabhupada says that why is it that devotees are not able to experience sweetness of Krishna sometimes in their life? They struggle and struggle and struggle and they are not able to experience sweetness of Krishna. He says because they are affected by the modes of material nature, the lower modes of material nature. And by regularly hearing Harikatha, Prabhupada says, you know, the shackles of the lower modes of material nature will become slackened. And Prabhupada says, you try it out. You come, you come for one Bhagavatam class and you try it out. When you go back, you will feel, oh, the effect of material nature is much less upon me. I am in the mode of goodness. And only when you come to the mode of goodness, then there can be actually happiness in a person's life. So this is what we actually learn from Krishna. So Krishna is the abode of all sweetness. And his God is a secondary thing. And with so many leelas, we can actually appreciate that fact. And we can, when we actually engage in the process of devotional service, especially Shravanam, we can actually experience this fact of Krishna's sweetness in our life. And then we can steadily remain in the path of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes, you know, people always are very enthusiastic about telling how I came to Krishna consciousness. But we should also encourage how I am staying in Krishna consciousness. Because coming to is like, you know, immediately, Prabhupada said, we don't want shooting stars, we want a steady moon. So coming to Krishna consciousness is nice. But how I am staying in Krishna consciousness? How I am staying? Because I am constantly experiencing that exchange of sweetness from Krishna. On my level, that is the sweetness of Krishna. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki. We have time for questions? I think no, it's 2:45 already. So I think we will end the class here. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for patient hearing.